Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Fightful Overbooks Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, June 16th. We are glad you are here. We have a lot to talk about today, so thank you for joining us. As always, Maggie, how are you doing?
Doing great. guys, let me tell you about a conversation that Rob and I had today. Really funny. So I was back at work today, and he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "Well, we didn't have water for about 2 hours." And he was like, "Oh wow, why?" And I was like, "What do you mean why? How the hell should I know? We just didn't have water." And he was like, "Oh well, my bad." Well, and he continued to explain to me how you guys over in the States receive a notice when you're gonna be out of water.
For the most part, yeah.
And I was like, wow, must be nice. What's that like? You know, could just, they will turn your water off anytime they want. And they will never tell you why, when, or like, whatever. This has literally happened to me like 1,000 times when I'm showering and I have shampoo in my hair and the water stops. And there's no water for like 2 hours. You know how it feels when you have...
I know how it feels. Mean. Well, Ryan says, did Bulgaria even have water?
Well, we didn't have water for like 2 hours, which is really funny because last Sunday, I was just finishing up with work and I was like, yeah, bye. I said bye to my colleague who just came back from like 2 weeks of concerts. He went to Germany for like a Rock and Ring. He saw Foo Fighters. He saw Bring Me the Horizon. He saw some 41, a lot of bands.
Kick-ass
bands. And yeah, kick-ass bands. And I wanted to get in touch. And so I left and as I was leaving, the power went out and I went over to, you know, to our restaurant, my boss's restaurant right in front of our bar. And they were like, we don't have power too. And I was like, oh yeah, that's weird. So I continue walking down the main street of Plovdiv and there was like 10 minutes down and no one had power, you know, from neither side of the street. And I was like, okay, that's crazy. Weird. I don't think I've gone that far. And then I go further and further. And there's this new tattoo parlor that opened like during the winter. And there were two tattoo artists who were tattooing people in like outside when it's where it's light because like they had batteries in the the tattoo machine. And I was like, okay, this starts looking like the end of the world. Okay. So I continue on to, you know, to the traffic lights like which are, you know, 10 minutes away from my place. And there's no traffic lights. They don't work. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, I've never seen this before. Like, that's a lot of places without any power. Wow. So I continued, you know, getting closer and closer to my place. And I start seeing people with power in their living rooms. And I'm like, oh, yes. I'm going to have Wi-Fi. Oh, that's so yeah. weird. And after that, the next day was the huge leakage in my shift. You know, I sent you the video, you know, the me during World Law Center.
Yeah, nice.
yeah, and like there's, and that's why I told you today, because my bar is leaking when there's so much rain. So how about there's no water then? So that's why I was all over the place today. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. Please leave a like on the video. Please send us a super chat like our good friend Ryan does every week. We love you, Ryan. Please send us a super chat and or a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. We are publicly funded. We thank you so much for joining us and thank you for supporting us. If you want to support us even more, please send us a super chat. Subscribe to Fightful Select for only $5 a month. You get exclusive news at some point. I hope that next week we get to bring back Coexisting After Dark because I kind of miss it. But I just wanted to do some stuff mentally. Like, thank you for the patience. So let's get on with
you. All righty, let's do it. We have a super chat from our good friend Ryan Sullivan. He says, "Wake up, Maggie. I got something to say to you. Rob, please insert the Dave and Buster clips here."
Yeah, Dave and Buster's, damn it.
There you go, Maggie. That was for you. We have another super chat. Ricardo says, still no surname, says, "Yay, finally get to watch live. Much love." Thank you for joining.
Thank you for joining us. I'm a fan of your no surname every time I watch, you know, Fightful post shows. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you so much.
Maggie, what did you think about that ending of AEW Dynamite this week?
I have a lot of news for you, Rob.
All right, let's hear it.
This is somewhat surprising to me also, because I don't know where that came from. It's probably my mother's fault. So let's talk about what happened at the ending of Dynamite. That six-man tag match happened. It was so great. Bryan Danielson was on commentary, which I love every time. Do you realize that Bryan has slowly morphed into William Regal for the BCC?
Yeah.
He's always on commentary for their matches. He like brings insight while on commentary. So I adore this so much. And every time he was high, man in the mask.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. So Bryan's on commentary. And that amazing match is happening in the ring. I feel like every week we expect Ibushi to pop up. That's what I feel like. It's a matter of time. But then something else happens. Like Eddie Kingston comes back. And I was like, Kate!
Yeah.
Because like Zack Sabre Jr. was also on the show, all the orange bollocks. He called Orange Cassidy orange bollocks. Like Zack Sabre Jr. is so awesome. I love the guy. But like circling back to the ending of Dynamite. So stuff starts happening in the ring. And then, you know, Takeshita comes out. And I'm like, oh my God. Is Kenny going to be here? And then he comes out. And I'm like, oh. And he's looking so great. He's in such good shape. I feel like every time he comes back, he's in better shape. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Please, like someone explain this to me. So all these things are happening. Like it's really chaotic, you know? By the way, commentary put over something really, really important. And the moment they said it on commentary, I knew that they said it for a reason. They said, BCC hasn't lost a match with John Moxley in it in a year. Every time John, this was said on commentary, every time BCC was in a tag team match and John Moxley was a part of that tag team. And they brought that up on commentary and I was like, yeah, okay, they're pretty much losing this match then.
Yeah.
So they lost the match and I was like, thank you. So that's top tier commentary right there. I will also always enjoy commentary with Bryan Danielson and Taz because I'm going to, you know, skip forward ahead for, you know, the Dynamite itself. I don't think I've mentioned on our show just how much I appreciate Taz's commentary.
Yeah.
Because he explains stuff to the people who have no idea how wrestling works. And that's me. Like, he explains to you holds and moves in a way that I've never even thought of, you know, thinking of.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it so much because this makes me think in a different way. And it makes me a smarter fan. So I will always appreciate that. So, circling back to the ending. So, Will Ospreay comes out. And gray sweatpants. And I'm in love with Will Ospreay now. I don't know how that happened. It's my mother's fault, probably. Because Dolph Lundgren. I have no idea. Maybe the more he starts delivering promos which are, you know, 90% curse words and, you know, cussing and swearing, the more I get a lady boner.
Jesus Christ.
I don't care anymore. It's this weird thing where, come on, you know the women will always be attracted to, you know, dudes who are emotionally unavailable, you know?
So, okay.
I know. It's this thing. And now he's so hot. And I'm like, okay, I was so not expecting that. I will always root for Kenny. I don't give a crap who you are. But this was weird. And having in mind that Will Ospreay is one of the best in-ring competitors right now. So, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just... I was just like, it came to to me that you're the only person probably in Fightful history to say lady boner on TV or on screen rather. So it just kind of like, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all. And
yeah,
because I'm proud of you. Here you go. And then you have this one. So.
Okay, Rick Knox, move your head.
Jesus. See, the thing is, if I do this kind of stuff, it's like...
You're going to be in trouble, probably.
Well, yeah, they already know I'm perverted, so it doesn't matter anyway, so I guess it's okay. But
I know it's double standards, but the double standards have to work in our favor at some point.
Hey, right? That's fine. I get it.
Yeah. So, this was my emotional roller coaster for the ending of this match because so many things happen. I'm going to need an explanation about Eddie Kingston and the dynamic between him and Moxley is going to be so good because he doesn't want to hit him and Moxley's, you know, it's like, what am I supposed to do now? And like everyone's fighting each other and then Will Ospreay comes and like... Don Callis was there also. Like he did nothing. And I wonder, are they gonna be like what's happening?
Yeah. Well, the explanation for I think you know this, but the explanation for Eddie Kingston being there was Claudio.
I know. But like the explanation as to like
BFFs.
BFFs, like why did you wait? What does Moxley think about Claudio's resentment towards Eddie Kingston because the thing they had in Ring of Honor, you know, the match that they had and like how it barely was a thing, you know, like Eddie had to beg and everything. Like it's just everything, like Moxley, because he's the middle guy. And where does Yuta go? Because Yuta is ridiculously under the wing of Claudio right now, because like they're a tag team, they're awesome together, and they do the whole whoop thing together, you know. And that, yeah, I'm sorry for the
audio.
Can
you do that one more time for me? Just
no,
so, damn it.
No,
okay.
Why? No, yeah. Think of the lovely people, you know, who are listening. It's you know, it's Zoidberg from Futurama. Shout out to our friend Chris. Hi. So there's so like every time when we watch Dynamite and we're like, okay, we're gonna get answers now, and they just changed the question.
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you. I would have preferred to do that for money, but like, fine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I was happy to see.
Yeah.
But this is weird. I didn't expect it. I'm gonna call my mom tomorrow, you know, for our weekly Saturday talk, and I'm like, hey mom,
Well, mom, Dolph Lundgren,
he was Dolph Lundgren is so hot. And she was like, what are you, who is this?
Yeah, definitely.
So what did you think? Because I've been rambling for like 10 minutes now.
So I absolutely loved it. Like the first thing I did, of course, like every normal person would, is I got on Twitter.
Masturbate?
Okay. The second thing I did after is I got on Twitter. And I tweeted.
Not necessarily in that order.
No, it was that order. Yeah. So I nearly lost an eye that day. Anyways. And I wear glasses. So there you go. Anyways. I tweeted out. That was the first time that I felt that Dynamite ended like a Nitro. Like WCW Nitro. I know. Like it felt like that to me. The only thing that was missing was Tony Giovanni saying, "We're out of time. We gotta go." That was the only thing that was missing, and I absolutely loved it. It just was pure pandemonium. It literally felt like an action
chaos.
Movie.
It was chaos.
You know, it was.
I loved it.
It was. You just didn't want it to end. Like too. You just. It was one of the very few times in life where I had FOMO, fear of missing out, because that would have been an event where I wanted to be there. Like to see what happened afterwards, hear the Kenny Omega promo where he's talking to Eddie Kingston, telling him to join the fight. Which that wouldn't be on my bingo card, like Eddie Kingston teaming up with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega going
this
after.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
It might not happen, but, we'll see. But I absolutely loved the ending. It was the best one. And like I'm just saying, like, so if you have Peacock or WWE Network, depending where you live, or just go on YouTube, go type in like Sting, in Sting NWO, like Nitro ending, you will see how the crowd just goes absolutely ape crazy. Like they lose it, because the crowd, like it was one of those type moments where you're just. It was just pure like excitement. It was just awesome. I loved it. It was just, I absolutely loved it.
The comparisons between Dynamite at AEW as a whole and WCW will always be there, because Tony Khan was a big WCW fan.
Yep.
And everyone on the roster was a big time WCW fan. So also Tony Schiavone is there. So.
Yeah. And I mean, and you had a lot of like, Sting is there, Jericho's there, Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko. I mean, there's so many people there, and and
will forever be inspired by WCW. Yeah.
And Corey's right, that there was an old episode of SmackDown where like all the big stars hit their finishers, like after.
Yeah, even I know what Corey's talking about. Yeah. I remember that finish. Hi, yeah. Corey. Also.
Yeah, hi, Corey. But an absolute fantastic show, like all together, just.
What an amazing episode of Dynamite that was.
It was what we call good stuff, pal. I was just very, you know me, like I've talked to you lately about like shows. Sometimes it's just like once a wrestling show's over, it's just like, okay, that's enough for tonight. Cause I can sometimes just get tired out by it because I'm on my computer all day doing some stuff for Fightful. So I see it a lot more than other people. So by the time it's over, I'm just like done for the day. But then when that ended, I even got on YouTube and I looked at some of those like crazy Sting moments because it just brought me back to that. And it was good to relive it. So it brought back those memories.
So it kind of reminded me of pay-per-view endings where it's, you have that hype, you know, when like all this stuff is happening, like at the ending of All Out 2021, Brian and Cole and everyone, and that promo after that, like it gets you hype, you know, or the ending of the ending of Royal Rumble this year, when everything with the Bloodline happened and Sammy and Roman Reigns, or when Bianca beat Sasha Banks, like those sorts of, you know, endings that get you all hyped and you cry, you know. I cry all the time, but like that's like,
I know what you meant, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, going into that, you brought up WWE. We now have the official matches set for the ladder matches. The first one that we'll go ahead and bring up and talk about just real quick. They set up the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. You have Io Sky versus Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Bayley, and Zoe Stark. So Zoe Stark getting in this match is a big deal, I think, for her to just come over from NXT. I think that's a good sign for her.
The fact that she's sided with Trish Stratus,
yeah,
means that they have immense trust in her, which is great.
So I think, and we'll do our prediction show here in 2 weeks, but just right now, do you see this being the catalyst of the end of Io and Bayley?
Yeah, because I definitely see Io Sky winning this.
Okay.
Or, yeah, I don't see Bayley winning again a Money in the Bank briefcase. I see Zoe and Becky costing each other. Trish Stratus can get involved. That's fine. I feel like then maybe you can get a glimpse of who helps Becky in the match also, so they can totally, you know, leave each other out of the entire match. Zelina just had her match against the champion. it was an amazing moment for her. But again, I feel like it's going to be either Io or Bayley, but I'm leaning towards Io. And I would love that. Io with a briefcase, that's going to be so great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We have another super chat from our great friend Ryan Sullivan. He says, Rob, I did talk. Oh, you did Tom Talks Rubbish. That's awesome. When it airs.
Who cares when he tells me?
Yeah. But after the show, we were chatting and both agreed you're absolutely the best guy. Wow. Thank you so much for that. That means a lot.
Where's the lie?
Where's the lie? I mean, thank you so much. You guys are both.
Oh, really, Rob, good. Is so awkward when people compliment him.
Yeah, I'm very weird about it.
No, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So thank you very much for that. I was not expecting to read that last sentence. Tom's awesome, and I'm glad he interviewed you. So that's good. And he just interviewed Kate not
both
too long ago.
Both are so great.
Yeah.
Both Ryan and Tom together, that's going to be a blast.
Oh, for sure. Faux show.
Which, by the way, you guys are going to have a Money in the Bank pre-show on Select, and I'm not going to be on there because I'll be working.
From your bar. We'll have you on. We'll go live to your bar.
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna ask for one of my colleagues to come, you know, a half hour earlier, so I can, you know, run home and just watch the show live. It's so great. I'm going to watch Money in the Bank live. I've never done that.
We have a super chat from Caden. He said, just woke up. That Punk interview was nothing, eh? Yeah, we'll talk about that here in just a second.
We're going to talk about that, yeah. It's it was something. I don't know what you're talking about, or you're being sarcastic.
Well, I think, granted, you weren't online yesterday, so you didn't see the, like, stuff behind it, but people were talking about it. Oh.
Were people hyped?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I have no idea, but the interview, like, the article was pretty good.
Oh, it was great. It was a great article.
We found out. Yeah, we found it, but we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it here in a second. Yeah. Yep. So the other match that was decided is you got a pissed off looking Ricochet here. I just absolutely he just looks like side eye Ricochet. I don't even get it.
But, I'm sorry for laughing.
No, so don't be. I think it's hilarious.
No. Like for our listeners, I'm sorry because that sounded awful. I'm sure. Sorry, guys.
But you have Santos Escobar, LA Knight, Ricochet, Shinsuke. I was going to call him Pete Dunne again, but
Pete Dunne, call him Pete Dunne. That's fine. It's going to be in his like home country. Like call him Pete Dunne. Like that's fine.
Yep, and Damian Priest. This match, they put all the right people in. The only person that I think is missing is Montez Ford. But
he should have been in this match.
I don't know who you'd replace him with in this case. Maybe like Damian Priest needs to be in there because of what he just did with Bad Bunny.
He's slowly turning babyface. You know that, right?
Yeah, and you have to have Pete Dunne in there because being in the hometown, and Shinsuke needs to be there because he's Shinsuke. Ricochet needs to be in a ladder match. LA Knight.
The things he's going to do with those ladders with everyone in this match, it's going
to
be.
I would actually I know it won't happen, but if it was up to me, I would add Montez Ford. But I get it.
How many women are in the Money in the Bank ladder match? Why are they five?
That I don't know.
Something's gonna happen. They're gonna have a six.
Maybe they could. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you cannot have six guys and five women. Something's gonna happen. They're gonna have a surprise entry. So, LA Knight has to win this, right?
I think so. I think that Sue's gonna win. Otherwise,
you can remove the photo, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I just keep on looking at Ricochet, see how pissed off he is. And I forgot too, by the way. I think you got to go with LA Knight and let him hold it for a long time. That's really the only thing I can think of. Would I be okay with if by chance Seth Rollins loses? Let's say he does. I don't see it happening. Let's just say hypothetically he does before that match. Then I think Damian Priest is obviously winning.
Not lose to Braun Breaker, right? Like,
yeah, no, he's not. Yeah, okay. Braun Breaker. What this is just my prediction based on what happened this week. I think your guy Dragunov is going to cost Braun.
I don't want anyone to get involved in that match. I know where you're coming from, but I feel like it's he can.
That's good, Dickishy.
Okay, that's a good one. He can attack Braun after the match because wonderful matches having iffy finishes. They've been doing that a lot.
That's true.
And the fact that we were granted a really awesome match doesn't excuse them for the iffy ending. So I just want him to have a good match and then just finish with, you know, an attack or something like that. But while we're talking about WWE, I feel like I should mention Gunther. Now, I'm pretty sure that Matt Riddle is going to face Gunther at Money in the Bank. Yeah. Or if they haven't, set it officially because I haven't been on Twitter. I don't know.
No,
they haven't made it official, right?
Well,
I'm pretty sure that the match is going to happen. You know, what we think about both competitors aside, the match is going to be really good.
Okay. So that's
Okay,
the way that I read it today, that it was just going to be five, so that's good.
No, there's going to be a six. Well,
it didn't make sense why there'd be like why they would just do five. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
So where was I? Oh yeah, Gunther. So the match is going to be really good. Riddle is not winning the match whatsoever. I hope. But it's pretty sure that Gunther is gonna break the record for the IC championship. Who dethrones them? Him. Ooh. Them. It's okay.
For
Gunther. Because I feel like it must be Ilya Dragunov. Because I feel like those two should be. Sean always likes to talk about Peter Griffin and the chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like those two should be the ones that are destined to fight with each other forever.
My God, that would be fantastic, though.
Because, like, it's history. It's their history.
Give them that match, like, on a main...
Yeah.
On a main card, let people see it, and then they can go back Sand and watch...
The Clash of the Sandcastle.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like because you know that I've been on the Sheamus bandwagon for like a year now, and I really wanted to be Sheamus, but like they didn't do it. And now I feel like the time passed and everyone's cooled down on Sheamus, which is a really bad thing. I hate that. But I feel like it should be Ilya. That's, and I'm not saying, you know, this match would be, you know, the way you debut Ilya Dragunov. No. The stupid thing is that Ilya Dragunov had this wonderful match on a takeover with Cesaro. They won't show the footage of that because it's Cesaro. So it was way back when Ilya wore red contact lenses.
Yeah.
So great. So I really wanted to be Ilya. I doubt that they're going to go that route. I really doubt it. But I feel like he's the one. Like, they should cost each other everything for the rest of their careers in WWE. Again, they should dance forever with each other.
Yeah, and I'm not comparing the two to Dusty and Ric Flair, but that's the kind of... They need to have that rivalry, like, where they're... That's their rivalry. Those two will always have... That's their battle, you know? That's... I'm not saying they're either one. I'm just saying that's their... That's their main battle, like Bret Hart and Stone Cold, to an extent, or, you know, there's just certain people that you think of. I mean, Sting and Ric Flair, Dusty and the Four Horsemen. There's just so many, but that I agree. They need to stick. Those two need to feud forever. Or,
yeah, I just need them to be incredibly like pissed off at each other at all times.
You know, since we brought up this, and I just thought about it, what did you think of Finn talking to don't Google me or whatever
JD McDonough, JD McDonough, Google me.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's the right thing to do. Like, he's been back in the background of JD McDonough's interviews for a while now, and we've seen that they're going this route, but. Everything, there's a story within Judgment Day, and this makes me glad because I feel like they haven't given us a single reason why we should care about Judgment Day aside from Rhea Ripley, and that's about it. And this is pissing me off because all of the people in the Judgment Day are ridiculously good. It's the thing that Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are doing right now is the right thing to do. I hope that with the way things were going this Monday, like the dynamic between the two, I hope that because Seth was like, I want that Finn, like the person who like gave it his all, you know, back when they fought for the Universal Championship. And I was like, please do not come out as Demon Balor, because that, you know, gimmick needs to die. Because they buried the gimmick when they shouldn't have. Because I felt like every time the demon comes out, it should be something, you know, big and important and everything. And they just buried it. He lost in a really weird way to Roman. You know, he brought out the demon. Was it against Baron Corbin? No, it wasn't. No. It wasn't Baron Corbin. Was it Bray Wyatt? I keep mushing those up. Because they don't matter.
Well, the last time you brought it up was against Edge, and then...
Edge, yes, okay. Edge.
Where that was Roman Reigns.
And, yeah, and that ridiculous, you know, spot in Hell in the Cell.
The bounce, yeah.
Oh, God, that spot.
That reminded me of when I called it, when I did the spot on Jeremy's press conference. I don't know if you ever saw that, where I put on the Finn Balor mask that I had, and asked him why the hell he booked me like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I popped myself. There you go.
So, every time the demon has lost, so I don't need that, because he sure as hell gonna lose here, because Seth's not losing that championship. He's gonna have it with him a lot. I wonder, that match is going to be so brutal. Money in the Bank, right? Yes? No?
Yeah,
it's going to be at Money in the Bank. I'm kind of angry that I'm not going to be there.
Oh.
But it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to be on. I'm going to be watching live, and then I'm going to be on Wembley. So that's, you know, suck it, guys. So it's, Yeah, I'll be fine, but it does turn out it's going to be a really, really fun show.
I mean, the good thing is that you'll get to see Goldberg and Warlow tag team. So,
moving on.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. I'm not gonna go there. All right, so we're gonna
go there when it happens, okay? Yeah, like I'm gonna.
It's gonna be a show by yourself.
Yeah, that no cursing show out of the window. I'm gonna throw that away, and I'm just gonna say the F word for, you know, 90 minutes. So, because I don't give a crap. Like, that's no.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about the thing that seems like we talk about them every week, because, well, we do talk about them every week. CM Punk yesterday, the big talk was there was going to be an interview dropping with ESPN, a big interview that was going to kind of start, basically is going to cause some more drama, is what was said. Because some people in AEW found out about it Wednesday, so they weren't too happy about it, per reports from Fightful Select. Today, that interview came out, and it really wasn't all that bad. I mean, sorry, say that again. You cut out or my audio.
The article was fine.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I'm saying, compared to what people had it at, it's not even close to, like, that's probably the
best. There you go. When you're not on social media and something comes out and then you see it, you really like it, because no one on social media told you what you were supposed to be expecting.
And, you know, this is what I said today about it. I said, my tweet was regarding that was, well, so I go, good way to get people talking and to get viewers. Punk is going to bring viewers. The interview wasn't as controversial as I thought it would be, which is my own fault. One thing I've learned is to keep my expectations to a minimum regarding potential wrestling news. So, like I fell into my own trap. That's like the other day when Chris Jericho was, I think he said in an interview, he goes, I have no desire to wrestle Sting. And I was like, who the F would ever say that? Like, you want to be in a ring with Sting, even if you're Chris Jericho, because people are going to watch.
Yeah.
Sting brings the proverbial eyeballs to the screen. Like, his people watch Sting. They love Sting. And I knew, like, when he said that, I was like, you know, for the most part, I'm like, I don't think so, Tim. You know, they're going to do a feud. And I thought about it. And then when they said Sammy Guevara's back, that's when I was saying to myself, there it is. Right there is how you bring him back in.
Yeah. And there it is.
Boom. Finally, I got to pull Robert DeFelice. I had my own genius booking, but of course, I didn't tweet about it because I was off Twitter for the most part that day. So I didn't get to look smart. Anyways, but yeah, CM Punk, let's talk about him. Anyways, the biggest thing that came out of this was I think the good thing is he apologized to Tony Khan for the way he handled it. He put the blame on himself for the most, like, the way I gathered it, he put the blame on himself because the way he acted, he was hurt. You know, he said it like at the beginning, I'm hurt, I'm tired, I'm old. but he apologized to Tony about what happened and what he said and everything that just escalated from there. Obviously that's a good step, but he said that him and Tony have been on good terms for quite a while now.
He said that they were great.
Yeah, that's it. Great. They were great. So, you know, that's good. I mean, that's obviously good that he said, he was very pissed off, like, when it all happened, because he knew he just injured himself. He was hurt, disappointed, and it was very easy for him to say that I regret the way he handled it the wrong way 100%. I think that was big of him to say he handled it 100% wrong, because the CM Punk that I and a lot of us know is he doesn't tend to admit when he's wrong that much. I think the other thing, too, that kind of came out was that he was pretty cool with Kenny Omega, like, through a lot of it. But none of them are talking to him. And I completely understand that in a way that they don't, if that's what they want to do, that's up to them. If they don't want to have contact with him right now, that's completely that's up to them. If CM Punk's trying to get it fixed, good. That's awesome. But it sounds like right now the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega don't want that they don't want to deal with it. I think over time they will get over it. I think in the long run, money is going to be like the biggest.
Start talking.
Yeah, I think that's going to do it. Who the hell would blame him for that? Because this is going to make him even a ton more. That a Kenny Omega versus CM Punk match is going to sell out wherever you want to put him for the most part, I would think.
Well, the article did mention the fact that for now, at least for now, them making a legitimate storyline out of this is completely out of the picture for now.
Yeah.
That's what the article said.
And I do agree with Scott here. It shouldn't take him 10 months to admit that, though. I will give you that. But
the fact that they talked with each other, here's the thing. Maybe he apologized the day after that. We didn't know it because he doesn't owe us anything. Like, he owes an apology to Tony Khan and Tony Khan alone. He owes an apology to the locker room because he talked, you know, about that. But we're not sure if that happened because he doesn't owe us the apology, you know, like he owes. And I suppose that some people will say that, as hardcore AEW fans will say, well, he owes us an apology as well. I get it. But, like, the things happen behind closed doors. And as we say all the time on all the shows, we will never know exactly what happened until they get in a room with each other and talk it out.
Yeah. And I tend to agree with, if I get this name wrong, I'm sorry, Vasco or Vasco.
It sounds really Bulgarian. I wonder if this, because Vasco is a Bulgarian name.
Gotcha. He says, who cares how long it took? It happened. We are not entitled to anything. We were not wrong. Well,
like I said, some fans probably felt, you know, a bit insulted by the way Punk talked to TK. I get it. Yeah. But like, maybe like look at it differently. I see all sides. I try to see all sides of the story, because you can always feel incredibly frustrated because you don't know and you have no idea what happened. You have no idea whether they talk with each other or not. From this article, from this interview, now we know that Punk has reached out multiple times to Matt and Nick and Kenny. They haven't reached back. They haven't answered. And like, their lawyers have said to Punk not to, you know, not to do that.
Yeah.
And he has no idea if those are lawyers who are directly connected to Kenny and the Bucks, or people who are, you know, with third party, you know, stuff happening, which we have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
So he has reached out because, believe it or not, people can grow. Because, you know, we always viewed Punk as this cocky guy who will always defend himself, which is so good, by the way. I didn't agree with a lot of stuff that Punk did during that press conference. And I was bitter and angry, and I was everything that Punk was at this exact moment, because he was emotional.
Sorry, that's breaking news. That makes me
happy. Oh my God, Kevin Kelly.
Yes. That makes me so happy.
Oh my God, Kevin Kelly.
Nigel McGuinness, too. That makes me so freaking happy. That is so awesome.
Oh, that is so great.
That is badass.
Oh my God.
How
about watching Collision just for the commentary team? Bravo, Tony. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Jesus.
Yeah. Two out of three ain't bad.
Way to go. Well, just mentioning, I would have preferred a woman on that table.
Yeah.
But I will get whatever, you know, how about a woman announcer, you know? Tasha, maybe? Like, it's
Veda's
card also, like, put some women, like, we know what we're doing. So where was I? The Punk thing. Yeah, I was angry and bitter just as Punk was, because when we're so emotional about something we love, we get emotional on all sides, you know, positive and negative, frustration, love, anger, and you know, everything. We felt like he was disrespecting wrestling. We felt like he was disrespecting like the people in the locker room, because that was exactly what he was doing on that press conference. He did reach out. He did apologize. So that's the grown-up thing to do, and I applaud him for that. We didn't know that he apologized, so that's why we continued to be angry. So this is one of those instances where you learn that maybe you shouldn't, you know, reach conclusions without knowing everything. He did say what happened exactly with him and Hangman. we will never know what Hangman feels, because Hangman refuses to talk about CM Punk. Like, even before that happened between him and Punk, he just didn't want to talk about Punk, like, whatsoever. They had, you know, planned the promo before Double or Nothing. Then they came out and Hangman went off script about what they agreed upon. And then after that, when they went backstage, Punk was like, what the hell was that? And Hangman was like, well, you talk about, you know, workers' rights and you got our friend fired, you know. And then Punk was like, that's not what I said. That's...
Yeah, the thing is we obviously know that could have been handled way, way differently.
Of course.
The thing is the way it probably looked to everybody in the back, it's probably that's the way they felt, but that was the thing. Like, Adam Page could have handled that differently too.
Of course. I am not talking about Punk only.
Yeah.
Because Page... Hangman Page, whether we all love Hangman, okay?
Yeah,
we adore the guy, but like the way you cannot tell me that the way he made it look was as if he was truly fighting for AEW and he was protecting AEW from Punk, because he was thinking that he did not belong there.
Yeah.
And the moment Brawlout happened, the day after that, I posted that video from the live Q&A that they did in their hotel room years ago when they talked about Punk. Cody was there, Kenny Omega was there, Hangman was there, like all of them. They were in that hotel room in Japan. And the Bucks were all... We'd message him every day about joining Bullet Club, of course. We bug him all the time. And then you see the facial expressions of everyone in the room, apart from the Bucks. And they were all silent. Yeah. Like, you know, that there's stuff happening. Like, we will never know what it is. And it's none of our business, probably. And we shouldn't be, you know, bugging people to know the answers to. But like, there was something that was mentioned in there that I wanted to talk about, and now I just blocked that out.
Well, yeah, the other thing too is we just need to make sure Mindy's Bakery can withstand.
How about after the first collision they give out, you know, muffins and
cookies. Muffins and ice cream sandwiches or ice cream bars, sorry.
The ice cream bars that already
don't
happened.
Don't ever say that. The ice cream
already happened.
It already
happened. Like, it's time for
if it was mint chocolate, then I would say okay, I get it. But like, I would be on your side.
No. You know, ice cream had its time, and now it's time to, you know, to give cupcakes and muffins their time. Okay, yeah. Like, ice cream bars were a thing for a while now.
Yeah, somebody said that too. Like, Punk did put over Cole. Yeah, and that's true.
I didn't say the ice cream.
No, I said somebody else did in the post. But I just was saying that. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm glad I'm glad Punk said in the interview that he never really thought about quitting at all. Yeah. That was something that I liked. He never really had that thought process. He did say he was angry, of course. Who wouldn't be when, you know, you just came back from an injury and then you get injured again.
And then you get injured all over again. That's, yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm glad he's back.
He's going to have a live mic. Probably. Probably Collision is going to open up with that, although I really wanted Collision to open up with the Miro match. I really wanted that. But like, having in mind that Punk is going to be a part of the big time main event for Collision, they're going to open up with Punk and they're going to close with Punk. Like,
I know this isn't really a controversial take by any means. It's not even supposed to be. I think, and it's not me going out on a limb here, but I really want Andrade and Buddy to steal the show tomorrow. That's what I want more than anything.
You're probably going to do it. Like, we all know that, you know, the money match is the main event, but yeah. Buddy and Andrade, oh, my God. Yes, yeah. Please. Like, more of that.
That's going to be something, like, because, you know, like, I know, obviously, you know how much we both love Miro, and we love Andrade and Bud Matt. I'm excited for tomorrow's show. I'm very excited because of some of the people. And we don't know who Miro's facing. I assume it, when they don't announce who it is, it's usually like Bill from Chicago Park or wherever. It's nobody. Like, as long as I don't get the call, I'm okay. Because I
will be okay with it. Like,
yeah, thanks. It'd be coexisting with Maggie.
Yep. No, I'll be okay if I get the call. Like, oh, no,
gotcha. Like, you're saying,
throw you under the bus, right? Yeah. Just take him. Oh, yeah, promote the show on your way out.
Well, the way you said that, like, well, I don't want.
I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Good luck, Rob. Yeah, yeah. You got Wardlow and Luchasaurus. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Ace is right. This show is dedicated to you. The only thing that would be better, like, to make it even better is, like, after the match, AJ Lee comes out and gives CM Punk a hug.
Give CM Punk a hug. Thank you for acknowledging that, Ace, by the way.
Yeah. That would be the winner of the Miro match. That would be great, and it's only like a 12-year-old kid, so that'd be even better.
Hey, you want to fight? Like, come on.
Oh, man. I just, but yeah. The CM Punk stuff, I'm glad we're finally getting to a point as he's back, and then I hope we can all move on. Now, granted, hopefully. This is one thing I will say. This, I'd be stupid, and I'm not naive to say this. Wrestling media does really well because of CM Punk. It's not a secret. So,
I mean, I'm trying to quit smoking because of the bastard. So,
that's one of the reasons why you tried and quit.
No, that's the only reason. Yeah. I really, really want to go back to smoking because I love smoking because it's really, really nice and it calms me down, you know? But like, because he had to go and just do stuff and Fightful Select went to, you know, 10,000 subscribers and I had to quit smoking. Jesus. Yeah, well, subscribe to Fightful Select. Otherwise, I'd start smoking again, okay? I really, really want to. Also, I'm going to Wembley, so please subscribe to Fightful Select so you can, you know, support us.
Yeah, or send us super chats or humper chats.
Yes, thank you.
So let's move on here.
WWE announced Payback.
So WWE announced Payback today. It's going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, September 2nd. Now, I believe All Out's going to be the 3rd still. Like, it's going to be Sunday. So Payback's going to be on Saturday, I think. I don't know if that's confirmed or not yet. So I don't know. I know WWE Payback's on September 2nd. I don't know when All Out is. Does anybody know if that's been confirmed when that is?
Well, AEW has had pay-per-views on Sunday, so...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be... Because you have All In on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you must have All Out on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I would think so, but...
Do you think that we'll get Tony Khan on the press conference? I'm not gonna sit around and take this shit.
Well, if it's not on the same day, I think you'll be okay.
I know, it's fine, but like, you know that, you know, like when wrestling shows are close together, they bring out the best in each other. Mm-hmm. And or they bring wrestling fans fatigue and they just stop watching wrestling altogether. So it's one of One of the two.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it can be both. They can be really, really amazing shows, and no one will watch them because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. If it's the same night, that actually irritates me. Because it's just one of those things. But I get it. From a business perspective, I totally understand it. I do. As much as I don't like it.
Well, you know, this morning in the weeds, Jeremy said something. Because when they think that they're, you know, being competitive and making stuff about them, but the only thing they're doing is that they're making wrestling media talk about, you know, both events more and more and more, and bringing out both events simultaneously. And then people go, oh, well, there's another event. Let me see what that is. And they just put eyes on the other product more than they, which is an interesting perspective. I never saw it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, All Out and Payback same weekend, but I just, so it's, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't on the same day. I know it's the same weekend. I just didn't want it to be on the same day. Because that's Labor Day weekend here. So Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good wrestling town. So that's good. We know that. Britt Baker. She won't be there, though. I can tell you that right now. Well, Maggie, I think it's time for our Cooper Effect. What do you think? You ready for this? Well, I thought I was, but can't find the video.
It's fine. We can play without video. So, guys, let me just, you know, read you the story, and then Rob is going to play you the video. Rob?
Okay. Go ahead and do the video first.
No.
Okay. I thought you said...
Maybe listen to what I'm saying.
When you said that, like, Rob's going to play the video, and you said Rob, and I was like, okay, gotcha. So, whatever. I'm waiting.
Okay. Listen to me all the time.
Well, if we did that, I'd probably be better off. I know that.
Okay. So, guys, this Cooper Effect is brought to you by our lovely friend, Chris Mueller. He often sends me, you know, amazing stuff, and I often make them the Cooper Effect because I'm lazy and I don't want to search for one. So thank you, Chris. So here's the story. It's a story from Angie Thomas. She's a writer. And she said, after my mom's childhood best friend left Mississippi as a kid, they lost touch. Mom named me after her and hoped that one day she would find her and reconnect. Today I found Angie's number and called. She's been searching for my mom too. We surprised mom later on FaceTime. Angela had to run some errands, otherwise they'll be talking right now. Unfortunately, I have to keep this a secret for the next hour or two, and it is killing me. Rob, please play the video now.
Okay, here we go.
Try to hug her.
Yeah.
That is so adorable. And then later on she went, update, they've been talking 2 hours and it's like the only it's like only a day has passed instead of 50 years. There is already talk of meeting in person, even though they live on the opposite sides of the country. They talked for over 4 hours. We will be flying out to see her sometime this summer. She was blown away that I was named after her. She's heard of my books and movies and had no idea I was her namesake. Apart from this being so great, I have nothing else to add. I'm so incredibly happy that they reconnected with each other because childhood friendships are something special to me. And when you lose that friend, but like you go on your separate ways. Like you don't get into a fight or anything, like you just, you know, life happens. Yeah. And then afterwards when you reconnect and you just, it's great because like it's a term used on How I Met Your Mother. It's a term called was it Revertigo? Like when you start acting, when you see a person from your past and you start acting like the age you were when you were friends and you like turn into a child, you know, that happy child, it's really awesome. I love this. Thank you, Chris, for showing me this.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was good. It was good. I like, that's one thing that I do. One of the very few things I do like about Facebook is I've been able to reconnect with friends that I haven't talked to in years. And like childhood friends I've been able to find. And it's obviously great to be able to talk to some of those people. And sometimes you learn like, oh yeah, that's why we kind of grew apart and changed and I moved and stuff like that. And you, the bad thing is you see some of the things they say now and you're like, okay, well, see you later. So, you know, but it's still cool to at least kind of get in contact, see how they're doing. And yeah, it makes you remember your childhood too. It helps. So that's awesome. Yeah. But so as we move on to the week that was, Maggie.
People are so pissed about Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio. So pissed. I cannot wait for this match. Okay, the good thing is that neither of them will be in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah. That's what people were worried about, was Cody Rhodes winning the title.
People were worried about Dominic Mysterio going around with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Was hoping for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for everyone who hates Dominic so much. I love what they're doing with him.
I think it's great.
Yes, Dominic versus Rose, because Dominic is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's a spoiled brat. He's a really, really annoying. Like, the only one who's receiving that much heat right now from the audience is Don Callis.
And MJF, of course, yeah.
Well, MJF is just ridiculously, you know... I know, I get it, but like people want to listen. People want to listen to MJF.
Yeah.
They want to, while Dominic, they're booing him out of the building and they're trying to be louder than him. You know what, when that time when Roman beat the Undertaker and the crowd didn't let him talk for like 15 minutes. And then he was like, "That's my year now," and he like dropped the mic.
That was a hell of a promo, though. It was.
What a promo like that was. Yeah. So I know people are annoyed. I think it's great.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah. That was the weird Raw with the weird finishes. I really have to start taking notes of my thoughts because I had a lot of things to say about Shayna and Ronda Rousey. Like a lot of things to say, and I remember nothing. I do think that I have ADHD right now because I had a huge problem with the women championships, you know, the tag team championships, and I have no recollection of that right now. Wow, this is so annoying. It happened with the Punk interview. I had really strong thoughts about something, and I could not for the life of me remember what those thoughts were.
Oh, so there you go. Now you officially pulled a Rob.
Thank you. I did not want that.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants to pull a Rob or one way.
I so do not want that.
Thanks.
Chad Gable and like, how is it that every week this is more and more over with me?
Because it's great.
I know, but like it started off with something really goofy, and right now I'm rooting for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah, I know. Why are you looking at me with a Caden look?
I just like saw some news that came up and I just wanted to double check it. That's all. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Over at NXT, we have a really fun build up to a Mustafa Ali heel turn. Or do we? Because like Wesley and Tyler Bate are going to fight for that North American Championship, and Mustafa Ali is like, what do you guys think? Should I be the special guest referee? Because I think that this match deserves one. Because, you know, over at NXT, we've been having some shenanigans with the referees. This week specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you freeze? Yep, she froze.
I'm here.
Now you are. Now you're here.
I'm sorry, it's probably my new router, which I paid a lot of money for.
Nice.
Everything's fine. Everything is so great. Yeah.
It's fine. Just everything. It could have been me. We don't know. We'll find out.
So. No, it's always me. So, you watched NXT this week, right?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. So, Wesley, Tyler Bate, and Mustafa Ali fight the Schism. So. They try to pin the person who's not the legal guy, and then all of a sudden a second referee comes out and stops the main referee's hand for to count to three. And he was like, no, that's not the legal man. And I was like watching this while I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm like, if you do not do this every time from now on, this is going to be so stupid. Because that's the same thing that happened with Cody and the Murder Hawk monster at Double or Nothing 2020. Like a referee came out and he was like, oh no, you know what happened? No, that you're not right. And I'm like, this is so stupid. That's dumb. And now they did it in NXT as well.
And I know we're going to like go to it here in a second, but that's what I liked about like, It just reminded me about the MJF match and Adam Cole, which we'll talk about in a second. But that was something about the referee Bryce that caught my eye that I really like. So,
he was like not the stupid referee because he knew that what was happening.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
There we go.
So that happened, and then some other shenanigans happened in another match. I think it was Thea Hale and Cora Jade. I can be wrong.
And yeah, that sounds right.
No referee came out to say, no, that's all right, because something happened behind your back. Because as the women's matches, apparently. I'm sorry.
I love your impersonation of, like, authority.
Of stupid people?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's not how you do it,
huh? Yeah, it's pretty much.
Maybe not do it in the same show. Like, if you're gonna have referee shenanigans, do it in one match, in one match only. And like, this was so I hated this so much because it literally happened 20 minutes later, and I'm like, where's that other referee who was, and why, what? That was so weird. I hated that. Nathan Frazer then won the NXT UK Heritage Cup. Is the guy injured really?
I don't think so.
So why didn't Dragon Lee beat him for that?
That I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird too. I thought Dragon Lee was going to win it in the first place.
And do we always get people to fight for us?
Yeah.
Because Oro Mensah took his place.
Yeah, that's a good.
That's like, was it a last minute decision?
I haven't heard anything on that.
It was a weird episode of NXT. It was fun to watch, but it was a really, really weird episode of NXT. And then Axiom Scripts beat Dabba Kato. Okay, like that's two things happen here. When you have two baby faces facing one heel, there's no one winning in this situation, because either the heel wins, which means that the two baby faces are weak, or the two baby faces win, and you go, "We're of course they're gonna win. There's two of them. There's no, like, no one wins here, like, at all." It's and after that, Baron Corbin won against Ilya Dragunov, and that pissed me off. Like, I don't care if shenanigans happen or whatever. I don't care about that. But it's Ilya Dragunov, and I don't want Baron Corbin anywhere near beating Ilya Dragunov, but yet we had it either way. So that's...
Yeah, I didn't care for that either. That was the one thing I was like, man...
Carmelo Hayes being on SmackDown, that's what I'm here for.
Yes, I like that.
Him being in the crowd, like, I know that they want to send main roster talent to NXT just so they can put eyes on product. No, I think the other way around is way better, because you get NXT stars on your main show and people are like, who's that? Because obviously they stopped watching NXT themselves. So
Carmelo Hayes started in the first place.
So Carmelo Hayes was in the audience and I was like, I popped so much, because and people lost their minds. And I was like, people adore this guy. Carmelo Hayes just has it. And I'm just so, glad that he's in NXT.
He's going to be a future main eventer.
So much.
So.
Yeah. SmackDown is in Kentucky tonight. Sean's going.
Yeah. Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. So, yeah. SmackDown preview. So tonight you have.
Lexington.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sean lives in Lexington. I'm moving them all over the place. At the Rupp Arena, Team Gauntlet match, LWO versus Pretty Deadly, Brawling Brutes, the OC, and the Street Profits winners.
One minute. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for cutting you off, but you mentioned Pretty Deadly, and I remember what I was going to, you know, rant about. Okay, so Tony D'Angelo is in prison for killing Pretty Deadly, probably. So... They're on the same product, you know, like on they see that they're not dead, first of all, and he's in prison. By the way, while Bea Priestley on live television said that she assaulted a bunch of people and has zero repercussions for that.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, double standards and talking like what?
Yep.
The hell? Like have some, you know, just
make it make sense.
Make sense.
Make it make sense. Yes.
Yes, please and thank you.
That's all we want. Just make it make sense.
Yeah. So moving on.
Yeah. So we'll,
thank you.
Yeah, we'll go back. So Team Gauntlet match, LWO, Pretty Deadly, Brawling Brutes, the OC, and the Street Profits. The winners will be the new number one contenders for the WWE Unified Tag Team Championships. You have the Grayson Waller effect with Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
Meechan and the one and only AJ Styles taking on Scarlett and Karrion Kross. The LWO's Zelina Vega taking on Damage Control's Io Sky. And we have a Roman Reigns returning. I don't know if they've announced anything else since this afternoon, but I would assume they probably have. But not, SmackDown looks pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is pretty good. So. But on the other hand, we're going to have Aussie Open fighting on Rampage tonight to come in.
Yeah.
This is so weird, guys. Help me. I don't want to have any more wrestling crushes. That like they they mess up my, you know, my expectations, and I'm gonna die alone probably. Jesus. Let's talk really quickly about Dynamite and everything that happened. So,
yeah. Might as well. Do you want to preview Rampage right after?
Well, we're going to do after.
Okay.
Fine. So the thing that actually, we're going to have my thoughts on MJF and Adam Cole. The match was brilliant. I'm going to let you talk about the match itself. But what I want to, draw attention to here, everything that MJF is doing right now is following in CM Punk's footsteps. And each and every Dynamite, this shows more and more, and it's ridiculous at this point, because MJF wanted to be the guy in the company, right?
Uh-huh.
So they gave him the title, and now he's a champion, and he's still not main eventing. The other guys are.
Yeah.
Every time, he's more and more following in everything that CM Punk did. It cannot be a coincidence.
It's interesting. Because I didn't think of that way.
Imagine, because like this is a huge caliber match. It's MJF and Adam Cole. And just like CM Punk, he was the guy. And yet, John Cena and The Rock were main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And like that, he's the one holding that championship. Yet he was not the main event of the pay-per-view with the other pillars. No, the other people were.
And let's be honest here. I'm guessing he won't be the main event at All In either.
Probably not.
So, unless it's him versus Punk. I mean,
yeah, like probably. But again, he's not going to be the main event because of him. It's going to be because of Punk.
Punk, yeah.
This is so great. Like, I'm sorry if it's not intentional because yeah. It sucks if it's not. But just, are you seeing this?
Yeah, so no, I am. Like, you made a great point. I didn't see it before you said it, though.
The moment I was like, oh, they played Adam Cole's song, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're opening the show with this match, and his face?
I knew the match was going to go about 20, 25 minutes when they opened it. I was like, okay. But the last thing I was expecting was the 30-minute time draw. That was my only issue with the match.
I had no issue here. I had no issue here because you could hear... Justin Roberts say 10 minutes remaining, 10 minutes remaining, and I'm like, there's a reason why he's saying that.
Well, he says, they do it every time they go past 20 minutes. So I'll give him credit for that. They do it anytime it goes after 20 minutes. So,
yeah, but like how often
it doesn't happen often, but when they do it, even if it, I mean, that's one thing I'll say. They do it. The matches don't go over 20 minutes usually, but when they do, he does say it every time. So,
yeah. The match was great, by the way.
Yeah, the match was good. If anything, I would have preferred that Adam Cole, not necessarily, I know people don't really like don't like the disqualification wins. In that case, I thought he should have maybe got it
because of the referee spot. Like we mentioned before, like a referee in AEW being smart. What?
Yeah. And I love Bryce Rumsberg. I think he's great.
Yeah. I love all the referees in AEW, but like,
yeah,
like maybe don't bury your referee so much because they're just Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know.
The referees as a whole, but I feel like AEW just hate their referees.
Well, yeah.
I'm
awful with names. I like Paul Turner, and I like Aubrey, and I like
Rick Knox.
Rick Knox can drive me absolutely nuts because he plays his role really good. He does. He plays. That's the thing. Like people
of an
like
old man who has no idea what's happening.
That's the thing. Like people like oh, he's so bad. I'm like, no, he's. The thing is, he's doing his job really well. We're not supposed to like
the
guy. And
he can go in the ring, by the way.
I know.
You know he could kick your ass.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what, like, I've told people that. I'm like, you know he's doing his job perfectly. And
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. It just aggravates you. And that means it's working. So. But, we'll move on real quick. What else did you want to talk about?
Wardlow and Jake Hager made zero sense to me. Like, why? Like, just have Wardlow face anyone other than Jake Hager, who hasn't been on television for anything other than "I like this hat" and everything. Like, it's weird. Sonata throwing out an open challenge and Jungle Boy accepting it.
Yeah, that was surprising, but I actually...
Okay, so let's... Let me just say real quick, because a lot of people were disappointed about that.
Yeah, I get that, but...
You guys have no idea how much this will do for Jack Perry's character. Mm-hmm. Because who will benefit greatly from a loss from Sonata?
Hello.
Jack Perry, of course, Jungle Boy, because, and not only that, but he asked for Hook to be in his corner. So this will be building towards the eventual, you know, Jack Perry heel turn against Hook. Jack Perry can get out his frustrations to Hook, or Hook can, you know, cost Jack Perry unknowingly.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff can happen. So Jack Perry being in the ring with Sonata, this will do wonders. Just, guys, give it benefit of the doubt, because I saw nothing but hate for this.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Sonata deserves something. And I'm like, come, look me in the eye and tell me that this match won't hum, because everyone's undermining Jack Perry because of the fact that he has zero personality. And I get it. So this heel turn from Jack, I'm so looking forward to that, because it will bring so much to the table. And he's going to, if it's done right, it can bring out the best in Jack Perry.
Yeah, we talked about that. Great, great decision, I think. Yeah, exactly what you said there.
So now we can read Chris's super chat.
Yeah. The one thing I want to say too, I'll read that quick. Chris says, I can't believe I almost missed the show. Hi.
If it was because you were sleeping, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But thank you, Chris. And also thanks for the
Thank you for the Cooper effect.
The one thing about Jungle Boy or Jack Perry, I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I actually would like to see him go back to Christian after this.
It makes sense.
Just to kind of say, I get it. Like something like that. Like, I want to learn from you.
I don't think that they having Christian having Christian in the vignettes they had for, you know, the Double or Nothing four-way, I don't think that this was a coincidence. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So what else do we have? We have Tanahashi challenging MJF, and MJF was like, no.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, that's not going to happen. And I was like, no, Tony Khan made it official. This is going to be such a fun match. Of course, Fightful Select has, you know, talked about, you know, CM Punk versus Kenta. I suppose that it's going to happen. Nothing has been said, but I feel like a lot of people are looking forward to that. It has a story in itself. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen. But we'll see.
Nothing is confirmed.
The other match that I want to talk about, I enjoyed the Tony Storm and Sky Blue match. I really thought that was pretty good. Sky Blue's.
Do you know what I don't like? It's copy paste at this point.
Yeah,
amazing match. They cheat.
They
win the match. The other person loses, and then someone comes out to save.
True.
Same that other guy. It's copy and paste, and I thought that we were moving past that, but we're still not. And like, it's frustrating at this point because we all know the amount of talent that they have, and I know it looks like they're holding back because they're waiting for something big, But like, this is not helping, because when they eventually show you the something big, people won't be paying attention.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. So, Maggie, I got a couple of jokes here.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to do the best one last. So I'm trying to think here. So, okay, let's try to do the best one last here. I'll call you later. Don't call me later. Call me dad. Okay. I'll admit I have a tremendous sex drive. My girlfriend lives 40 miles away. They're not the best, but I thought they were okay.
No, like, the second one was good. The second one was good.
So finally, I did a better one.
You saved the best one for last.
There we go.
Let's
have you plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. Otherwise, you can follow me on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I want to say thank you for joining us. It really means a lot to us every week, 3:00 Eastern, right here. Hopefully, we'll be bringing back Cooper Effect, Coexisting After Dark. We love doing that show, and hopefully, it'll be back pretty soon. But I want to say thank you again. We appreciate you very much, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Next week, we have predictions. The week after, we have predictions. So
I don't know anymore.
I don't even know anymore either. So
no, isn't Forbidden Door next week?
Yeah, it is. It is. We do have predictions. See you guys. Peace out.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.